I really never know how to start these intros to podcasts, so I'm just going to start by saying, hey, I'm back. The hiatus of the podcast is starting to come to an end, and this is going to be a new season of The Vibe Within, and it's going to be a new energy. It's going to be a new season of life. I'm going to be coming to this podcast with a different purpose, let's say purpose, and I'm going to be more honest with what I'm actually going through in my life, and we're going to have some different conversations, definitely more conversations around microdosing and deep mental health issues and healing trauma and all of the things. But here I am. This is the first episode of this new season of my podcast, and I'm sitting here on my floor in my apartment that I somehow manifested, and I am still pretty much in shock and disbelief because I went through my entire adult life never having that safe feeling that I was craving. I never felt like I had a real home that I felt comfortable in. I never felt like I had a place to go that felt clean and safe and peaceful. Every home or apartment or living situation that I have lived through in my adult life from age, you know, actually more like age 12 to 32, was chaotic, didn't feel grounded, didn't feel comfortable, didn't feel safe. It didn't feel like a living environment that all of my friends had, or, you know, a lot of my trauma has to do with root chakra, living situations, homelessness, toxic relationships, and a lot of toxic roommate situations and friendships, and it's just so messy. And so for so many years, I truly believed that I was never going to manifest an apartment of my own. And somehow I manifested an apartment, and I moved into my friend's apartment, who she had a baby recently, and she couldn't have her studio apartment anymore in Miami. And for some crazy reason, the universe or God or spirit allowed this apartment to become mine, and it feels right. For the first time in my life, I feel safe. For the first time in my life, I feel like I can start to really focus on healing my nervous system. And it's really paralyzing, to be honest, because when you go through life in fight or flight mode nonstop for over 20 years of your life, when you slowly step out of it into a safe space where you're really safe, you're alone, it's just me and my cat, you know, I'm not living with toxic family members anymore, I'm not living in an abusive and toxic and narcissistic household anymore. And I was living in that on and off since before COVID, you know, since a few months before COVID. So that's like a solid 3 years on and off. I took some breaks. I traveled. You know, escapism. That is what my life was. And it wasn't just for the time that I lived with toxic family members. This escapism energy, this fight or flight, this constantly trying to flee and find safety. And the way that I found safety and escapism was through toxic behaviors, toxic relationships, to take my mind away from my suffering, to take my mind away from the pain, and to take my mind away from the fuckery that was my life. You know, drugs, drinking, partying. My my drug relapse in 2019 really was when my life took a turn. And that is when I had to leave Miami because I lost my apartment. And I went to Philly, and I just fully relapsed on drugs, all sorts of drugs. And I lived with a very toxic person who was a drug dealer and a drug addict, and my life crumbled, you know. I lost everything that I had in Miami, and that was really the time of my life that my fight or flight survival mode really kicked in. And it was the worst it's ever been. I was legit homeless. And that kind of homelessness trauma really, really stuck with me. And it felt so similar to how I felt in my childhood, you know, and in my teens and in my 20s through college. I never felt like I had a home. I never felt like my dad's apartment in New Jersey was my home. I never felt like my mom's house in Florida was my home because she lives with her husband, who is a narcissistic abuser, both physically, emotionally, mentally, manipulative. And I never thought in a million years that I would have to move in there with my mom and my stepdad, but I had to at some point, and then COVID happened, and I know that everything happens for a reason, but what I really want to talk about today is how our bodies, things are going to start catching up to us. You know, living in a constant, perpetual state of survival mode, of escapism, of fight or flight, that impacts the nervous system so deeply, and we forget what it feels like to feel safe because we're so used to being in this constant, constant energy. It's like a frantic, chaotic, really buzzy energy that's constantly trying to grasp for something or someone or a different experience to latch on to any kind of safety or peace or comfort or relief. And what I'm starting to realize, especially in therapy and doing all this trauma work, is that a lot of my mental health issues, like my depression and my eating disorder and my OCD and all of these things, are rooted in this trauma that I've lived with from teenage years, you know, all the way through my 32nd year. I'm 33 years old now, and I'm just starting to come out of the survival mode. And so when I moved back to Miami about a month ago, I think it has been like literally a month since I've been back, I was explaining it to my therapist as if I felt like I got whiplash, and it's as if the past 20 years of my life, and especially the last like 5 or 6 years of my life, just caught up to me and hit me, and I have that energetic, emotional whiplash of the trauma, and now my body is in shock because I haven't experienced safety since I was a child, since before I was, you know, 11 or 12 years old. And so this is really jarring to my system, and it's hard to believe that this is safe, because when you have been in that survival mode for so long, you don't trust things, you think you're just always in that hypervigilant state of, when is the other shoe going to drop? This is too good to be true. This is going to end. I remember when I moved back to Miami the second time in summer of 2021, and I moved in with a roommate in a nice high rise, something felt off. And when I moved in, I had this really, really overwhelming anxious, panicked feeling, and I sort of knew that something was going to happen, but I was trying to tell myself, no, that's just your hypervigilance, that's just your anxiety, that, like, just trust that this is a great, you know, opportunity, and this is safe. And believe me, I really did. I tried to believe that it was safe, but it didn't turn out to be a permanent living situation, and it turned out to not end well, unfortunately. And that led me to have to leave Miami again a few months later. So this is really hard for me to trust that this is my life and this is the life that I've manifested. And there's a lot of manifestation work out there. Some of the work that I've kind of done and listened to a lot is Lacey Phillips' manifestation work, and she has the Expanded podcast, and you know, I've kind of gone through that whole process of, like, the way that she kind of creates her manifestation process. It resonates with me, and, you know, going through periods of darkness where nothing comes through, going through periods of, it's called the magic dark, you know, going through periods of time where you just feel like nothing is ever going to come through. And that's how I felt for months and months and months, living at my mom's, in the toxic dynamic, being gaslit, being made to feel like I was the crazy one. And of course, that just fueled my eating disorder and my anxiety and my depression and my misery. And it just continued to feed the fuel of the trauma, because I was living in the same traumatic experience dynamic that I lived in when I was a teenager. And that dynamic is what, you know, caused a lot of my mental health issues to be created. So they were resurfacing as I was in my Saturn return, you know, my late 20s and my early 30s. So it was really like a full circle kind of experience. And I think it needed to happen, because now that I am finally in a safe place, I can have a lot of gratitude that, you know, the amount of gratitude that I have is what's keeping me going. But I do want to also say that even when you do, like, manifest that thing that you've wanted for your whole life, like for me, I've been wanting to live in a nice luxury high-rise building and have my own apartment. Like, that's something that I dreamed of for all of my adult life, you know, just having my own apartment. And I felt like it just wasn't in the cards for me. Like, it just wasn't going to happen for me. That's what other people get, you know. I was living in scarcity mindset, and I was living in lack mentality, and I was living in my trauma, and I was living in my, like, poor person mentality. And that's because that's how my parents grew up, you know. Like, they still are living in lack mentality, and it's rubbed off on me really, really. And I'm trying to make it so that I'm living my life. I'm not living my parents' life. I'm not living by their money rules. I'm not living by the rules that they grew up with of how to make money and how to work and how to have a career. And I think burnout is so accepted. And I think after years and years, and if you can relate to this, living, you know, years and years in fight or flight mode, living in that survival mode, living in that escapism of the trauma mode, then once you do get out of it, and maybe you are in a safe environment now, like, maybe you can relate to this. Like what I was saying before, it feels like whiplash. And now I'm sitting in my life, and everything has caught up to me, and my body is starting to hurt, and I'm feeling a lot of physical symptoms. And I think it's because I physically really pushed myself to my limit, to the extreme, when I was living in those fight or flight weird living experiences, you know, at my mom's with toxic boyfriends, with toxic roommates, traveling. Again, escapism is different than like the nomad life, you know? The nomad life, the digital nomad life, that's cool. People are doing that and enjoying their lives, and they feel safe and they feel secure, and they're having fun and they're meeting people. Escapism is different. Escapism has a fear-based energy, a very chaotic and frantic and haphazard energy. And that is what I am healing from, and it is so fucking deep. Real quick, before I get deeper into this episode, I want to talk to you guys about my sponsor for this podcast, BetterHelp. You guys know how much I love therapy. I have been in therapy for several years, but I've been using BetterHelp for about 3 years, and I love my therapist. She's amazing. So I'm very happy that BetterHelp has, you know, sponsored this podcast. And out of all of my sponsors, I gotta be real, BetterHelp is my favorite because I actually use them every day, every week. I have a great relationship with just the experience, and you know, my therapist has helped me through so much the last couple years. And BetterHelp is very, very easy. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You know, you don't have to go to a freaking office. You don't have to take a drive. You don't have to take an Uber or a Lyft. You can just do it from the privacy of your own home or wherever you're traveling. You can do it video. You can do just an audio call if you're not comfortable doing video, or you can do the messaging. And you can also message your therapist whenever you need to. There's also a journal feature, which I love because journaling and typing all of that stuff out of your head is so helpful. So join over 2 million people who are using BetterHelp. That is crazy, 2 million people. It has helped me so much. Just having someone on your side and having that outside perspective who is not going to judge you. They're not going to hold anything over your head. They don't know any secrets that you tell them. They're not going to ever hold that against you. And that's what I love about my therapist. I could tell her the worst things I've ever done, and she's not going to judge me. She's been very helpful with everything that I've gone through with, you know, the relationship with my mom and healing and everything like that. And she does EMDR. So you can find a therapist who matches your personal needs, whether it's addiction, substance abuse, trauma, eating disorders, relationship issues. You can find the perfect therapist, and you can change the therapist as many times as you need. No charge, and it's super easy to navigate the app. So all you're going to do is go to betterhelp.com/vibe for a discount, and that will get you a nice discount on your first month of therapy. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/vibe. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/vibe for a 10% off discount your first month of online counseling. And I hope you do it, because we all really need support. And if you haven't tried therapy yet, this is going to help you so much. BetterHelp.com/vibe. So burnout is going to catch up to us eventually. And I think burnout really does coincide with identity crisis, for me at least, because when you're so burned out from the perpetual crazy chaotic life experiences that you're going through, you lose yourself. You literally lose yourself, and you have no fucking clue who you are anymore. And that burnout leads to an identity crumble. Your identity just disappears. And for me, that meant like not teaching yoga anymore and becoming this angry, depressed person because I was living in an unhealthy and toxic environment, you know, living at my mom's with her husband and not having any friends. And when you don't have real human connection with people who actually know you for the good that you are, you forget who you are quickly. You forget who the fuck you are because you're not surrounded by anyone who actually knows the good that you bring. And a lot of my identity was and is still wrapped up in me being a yoga teacher, because I felt like that was the only thing that I had to offer, you know, other than the podcast. But like, even recently, I felt like the podcast, I just needed to take a break from it, because I felt like, who the fuck am I to have a podcast talking about, you know, healing and mental health when my life is crumbling and I'm living at home? And I knew that I wasn't the only one, the only millennial living at home. I knew that. There's so many people in their late 20s and 30s who are living at home in not the best living dynamics, they're not living with people they want to live with. And even though I knew that deep down, it made me feel unworthy. It made me feel like nobody's going to give a fuck what I have to say, and I should just become small and disappear. And that's what I did. And unfortunately, that is what I did. I literally hid and became small, and I isolated myself to the point where my mental health truly, truly reached an ungodly hell. And it was hell on earth for me. And I really had to go through the depths and the darkness of hell in order to come out of it. And I think when you go through that, maybe at some point the universe or God or spirit or whatever it is that you believe in just starts to throw you a bone, and maybe that is the bone that I was tossed with this apartment, because I could not imagine living another month there. I was becoming suicidal. So I don't want to say like, oh, you have to just reach your limit and want to kill yourself and then the universe is going to, you know, manifest something for you. You're going to manifest something with the universe. I don't think that's how it works, but I think there is something to be said about reaching your deepest, darkest depths of suffering. And for a little while I was there, I was like, okay, this is what my life's going to be. I might as well surrender and just, you know, kind of like die into this life. So I felt dead inside, and I was living a life that I hated. And in order to heal that energy, like to not feel dead inside anymore, that doesn't happen overnight. So now that I'm here in Miami, I'm trying to heal that energy of like feeling dead inside, even though I know that now my life is amazing, and I have the apartment, and I have my cat here, and he's healthy, and he's doing okay, and he's not as sick as he used to be, and I have a roof over my head, and I have food, and I have money, and I have a bed with a bed frame. And like I was sleeping on a tiny little twin mattress at my mom's that was so uncomfortable. Just the fact that I have a bed frame, like it's literally the smallest things that I am grateful for at this point. The fact that I have my own little tiny kitchen that I can cook in and be in safety and peace and prepare my meals. It's just these small, mundane things that people take for granted, you know? And I am so burned out that I haven't been able to record this episode, and it got to the point where I was starting to realize that the reason I feel dead inside, you guys, is because my throat chakra has been shutting down, and it has been dying, literally. And so I had to force myself to rip off that Band-Aid. It's like I was visualizing myself, actually. Like, I saw this visualization of, like, myself with, like, tape over my mouth, and how living in an environment that silences you and gaslights you and makes you feel like you're crazy, that is like wrapping tape around your mouth, and you're never allowed to express yourself. And the opposite of healing and the opposite of depression and anxiety is safety and expression. And that's the main thing that I'm starting to realize is, well, if I want to heal my nervous system, I need to find the proper outlets and the proper channels where I can express myself and channel that chaotic energy of my eating disorder and my and just the depression and the anxiety and creativity. Creativity is a huge part of healing. And when you're living in an environment that you're running away from, that you don't feel safe in, that you feel stuck in, your priorities are not creativity and expression and, you know, like it's these and connection. You know, your priorities are just surviving that day and getting through that really toxic time of your life and getting through that relationship or that terrible, terrible experience that you're going through. So living in a safe space is such a luxury and such a privilege, I'm realizing, that I never experienced in my adult life. And now that I'm experiencing it, it's like, holy shit, I'm starting to realize, okay, so I lost myself. I totally lost myself these last several years. So what is it going to take for me to find myself and reclaim my identity? And it's starting from scratch. You know, I am literally starting from scratch. I'm starting from scratch when it comes to friends. I don't feel like I have any real friends here in Miami. I'm not teaching at this moment, but hopefully I will be teaching soon at Equinox again. It just takes a long, it's a long process to be rehired there. And even though I am in the process of being rehired, it's not tomorrow that I'm going to be teaching yoga there. So I've been trying to find different outlets and things that will awaken me and shake me out of this perpetual darkness of feeling dead inside and feeling worthless and feeling useless and feeling like I'm too damaged and I'm too much and nobody will ever be able to be my friend or handle me or tolerate me or date me. Like, these are the stories that I am constantly working through in therapy. And it's not cute. Like, I don't think that I would want to be friends with somebody who thinks they're worthless and a piece of shit. And I don't think these things about myself all the time. I think it's such a subtle energy that has been ingrained in me from the trauma. And it's ingrained in the nervous system. So, like, my self-esteem and my confidence is a lot better now that I'm sober and that I'm taking care of myself and I have my self-care routines and my biohacking routines and my rituals, and I know the things that bring me peace and bring me calm energy, right? But within that, I have also really lost myself and my ability to connect with others. It feels like I'm an alien sometimes walking around because it feels like I am just sitting on the sidelines, like watching other people live their lives. And I'm watching other people enjoy their lives and go about their lives and be with others and have fun and be happy. And for some reason, it just feels like my natural setting of energy or mood is constantly set at this like depression volume, you know, like that's just who I am. And like the trauma and the years of living in that constant unsafe energy has like just ingrained in my being. And now I have to undo all of that. And I was talking to my therapist about this, you know, so many years of like being silenced, you know, and now I have all of this space and I have this apartment and this safety and this peace, and I haven't wanted to record the podcast. And it's like so ironic because I am not being silenced here. You know, nobody's telling me to shut up like my stepdad did. You know, he literally would tell me to shut the fuck up, or You know, like the things he would say to me were vile and just evil. Nobody's treating me like that here. I have all of the space and the time to record this podcast, but for some reason, it just all caught up to me. And I think it's just from that perpetual silencing, you know, my nervous system needed a break and needed, you know, this season is meant for, like, this season of my life, this chapter of my life is meant for deep, deep inward healing, retreat, processing, reflection, going slower, like, because, again, the whole energy of fight or flight mode, it's fast, it's quick, it's escape, it's run, it's fleet, you know, it's, you're on the go, your energy's on the go, you can never calm down, and even when I was, like, taking a yin yoga class, you know, I couldn't calm down. I just never felt safe. I never felt okay. I never felt like I could just... The only time I felt okay was, like, when they left the house to go out or, you know, like, that's just not a way to live. So when I'm here now in safety, and maybe you guys can relate to this, it's like every single day you have to remember and remind yourself, oh my God, okay, I'm safe now. You know, like it's like that constant reminding yourself over and over and over again, thousands of times a week, multiple times a day, every single day that I wake up, I don't have to run and hide, you know, and I was running and hiding for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 20 years of my life, it felt like, you know? And so I came up with this like, concept, I guess. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie 51st Dates, but at the end, you know how she, every single day, she has to watch the tape. She has to watch the tape that reminds her of who she is and who her family is. And look, you were in this accident and now you don't remember things. And that is how I feel. I feel like every single day I have to remind myself and replay the tape of, hey, you're in your apartment now. You're safe. You have a safe place. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. This is who you are. You can feel okay. You're allowed to feel happy. You're allowed to feel safe. You're allowed to embrace this peaceful energy. You're allowed to heal. You're allowed to talk to people. Like, I mean, I felt like a caged animal for so many years of my life, and especially in those toxic relationships that I was in, I felt like I was just indespicable, you know, like, unacceptable, and just something is wrong with you, and something is wrong, and you know, and it's like these guys that I was dating were like literal broke, poor men who had like no jobs, or they were alcoholics, or they were drug addicts or drug dealers, and I was taking the things that they were saying to me at face value. Like, I was like taking it as if what they were saying was true. So, you know, it takes a lot of undoing there and a lot of unlearning, because why was I taking the things that they were saying about my character and my identity so seriously? It's because I was silenced all my childhood. I was gaslit. I was told that I was the crazy one. I was told that I was angry and bitter, and that my truth was denied, and my feelings were not met. My emotions were not heard. I was not allowed to be angry. I was not allowed to feel unsafe. I was not allowed to express myself. I was not allowed to do these things because it was damaging to the adults, right? And they didn't know how to handle my truth and my honesty. So they just spun it around and would tell me that I was the wrong one. You know, I was the one out of line. So again, it's like, you know, when you spend so many of your adolescent and your forming years of your 20s, they form your identity, you know, like I was not sure of who I was in my 20s because I was constantly on drugs or having toxic sex or, you know, partying or working. I also inherited my workaholicism from my dad, so I was constantly bartending or waitressing and working doubles and going to school, and it was just like, now I'm 33 years old and I'm able to sit down and not have to run and hide and rush through life. You know, I think there's something to be said about slowing down and allowing ourselves to slow down and giving ourselves the time in this chapter of our lives to hit the reset button, and not just reset like your energy, but like reset your cells, your nervous system, the things that bring you joy. I mean, the things that bring you energy, meeting new people, figuring out what activities and what hobbies you're not into anymore. You're growing out of things. People grow apart too. So people can definitely grow out of hobbies and interests. You know, relationships end. So, you know, I'm not going to be the same person and into the same things that I was when I was in my early 20s. So that's what I really wanted to talk about today, is just this overlap of burnout, of the nervous system, of figuring out who we are, of losing ourselves, and going back to basics, you know, like just trying to find a way to be okay with a slower paced life and embracing the basics of life and finding gratitude and magic in the just the mundane of life. You know, my life right now, I don't have any real friends here, and it's the truth. Like, I thought I had a couple of friends here. I've been here for over a month, and one of my friends just continued to blow me off or not answer my texts, or, you know, like, when you get blown off enough times and it's just to go, like, meet up for coffee, it's like, I'm just done, you know? I think it's like an ultimate fuck it moment where it's like, fuck it, I need to focus on myself, I need to focus on my healing, I need to focus on my body, on my mind. And eventually I'm going to come out of this isolation and connect with people, and the people that I connect with will be the right people. I don't want to make this episode crazy long, but I went to a sound bath last week. I found a sound bath event on Eventbrite. I just like went on Eventbrite and just searched sound bath because I was desperate, and I went alone, and that is a solo date, and solo dates are so healing. And I didn't know anybody there. I went alone. I went to the sound bath. I enjoyed the sound bath. I felt the healing. I talked to a few people. I met the owner of the studio, and, you know, it's like little things like that, just getting out of your comfort zone and buying a ticket and going to a thing and going on a solo date. Those are the ways that you're going to, you know, get out of that isolation. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope this episode resonated with you, and I hope that you enjoy this new season of the podcast. I'm going to have Chelsea back on soon because you guys loved that episode with her, and we're going to talk about mushrooms again. We're going to talk about where we're at in our mental health journey, and like the nitty gritty of like where we are with our microdosing and trauma and thought processes and friendships and, you know, losing friends, making friends, just all of it. So, you know, stick around. I am back, and I'm going to try to be more consistent with this podcast. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with a friend or a family member, or you can share it in your stories, or, you know, send the link to people. And if you haven't rated it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please go do that. It really helps the podcast thrive. You know, this has been my creative baby since 2018, and now we're in 2023. So it's been you know, over a few years now. And I am just grateful that you guys are here, if you've made it this far and made it to the end of this episode. So we will connect soon. If you want to connect over on Instagram, my Instagram is gabloveflow. Hit me with any questions you have about microdosing, mushrooms, all the things. All right.